Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's program. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note, this call may be recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Mr. Wade Henderson. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Jessica. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being on today's call. I'm Wade Henderson, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund and the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, the nation's leading civil and human rights coalition with more than 200 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. I'd also like to thank New America Media for its help in making this call possible. Now, the decennial census is by far the most important and critical tool in our country to ensure that diverse communities are equitably served with government resources and that the American people are adequately represented at all levels of government. Census data identifies emerging needs and helps national and local leaders make decisions about allocating resources for our communities for important things like education, assistance for veterans, hospitals, and transportation. Census data is used for reapportionment and redistricting purposes as well, which give meaning to the constitutional promise of one person, one vote. Now, we're on today's call because the 2020 decennial census has been deemed a high-risk federal program by the Government Accountability Office, which is concerned about the Census Bureau's, quote, ability to conduct a cost-effective enumeration, unquote, in 2020. Too much is at stake for the nation, and being undercounted deprives already vulnerable communities of fair representation and vital resources. Census data are vital to the implementation, monitoring, and evaluation of a wide range of civil rights laws and policies, from fair political representation and voting reforms to equal opportunity and access across all economic and social sectors of society, including housing, education, health care, and the job market. That's why ensuring a fair and accurate census is a top priority of the Civil and Human Rights Coalition. Now, while 2020 seems far away, decisions being made this year by Congress and the Trump administration will determine whether the Census Bureau has the resources it needs to do the job well. The Census Bureau cannot afford to delay preparation for the 2020 census any longer. Communities of color, urban and rural low-income households, immigrants, and young children are all at risk of being missed at disproportionately high rates. The health and well-being, as well as the political power of all of the diverse communities the Leadership Conference represents, rests on a fair and accurate count. The census is required by the U.S. Constitution, and policymakers are responsible for making sure the job gets done right. All of us must insist that they do that because there are no do-overs. Now, I'm joined on today's call by census experts of diverse communities to further explain why the Census Bureau must be provided with the resources it needs. Terry Ann Lowenthal is a former staff director of the House Census and Population Subcommittee and a consultant to the Education Fund. Arturo Vargas is executive director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO, Educational Fund. And John C. Yang is president and executive director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. I'm now pleased to turn the call over to my friend Terry Ann Lowenthal, the former staff director of the House Census and Population Subcommittee and a consultant to the Leadership Conference Education Fund. Terry Ann?
Thank you, Wade. I am really pleased to join my colleagues in sounding an alarm on several near-term decisions that could either bolster or undermine the likelihood of a successful population count 3 years from now. I'm increasingly worried that Congress, and now the Trump administration, are setting the stage for a less accurate count in many communities. A successful census must count all population groups and all communities equally well. When there are disproportionate undercounts of people of color, low-income households in urban and rural areas, young children, especially Black and Latino children, as Wade highlighted earlier, we cannot achieve the Constitution's promise of equal representation, and we can neither identify nor address the real needs of all Americans. A fair and accurate census is a non-negotiable pillar of our representative and transparent democracy. Now, Congress's failure over the past few years to pay for rigorous 2020 census planning, and now the Trump administration's insufficient budget request for 2018, will, I think, strike at the heart of operations that are specifically designed to make the census better in historically undercounted communities. Activities such as targeted advertising, in-language assistance, the door-to-door visits in less trusting neighborhoods, and special methods that are used in poorer rural areas. And I also see three wild cards that could further undermine the 2020 census. First, cybersecurity threats, both real and perceived by the public as we plan for the first high-tech census. Second, heightened fear and mistrust of government authorities among immigrants and Muslims, but also in communities where relations with local law enforcement are strained. For example, in some Chicago neighborhoods and in Ferguson, Missouri. It might be increasingly difficult for people to separate their view of the Census Bureau, and by extension the census, from their view of an administration that they perceive as hostile and unwelcoming. And finally, the role of the tweeter in chief. You know, the president has questioned the integrity of federal statistics and by extension, the work of statistical agencies. He made unsubstantiated charges that millions of people voted fraudulently in the last election. And it is not a stretch to imagine an unfounded allegation of bogus census counts in communities that he doesn't think are friendly to him or his party. One errant tweet could shake public confidence in the process, could depress participation, and could undermine faith in the results, conceivably all the way to the halls of Congress, which must ratify the apportionment. And so in closing, we call on Congress to do two things to boost the chances of a successful census. First, provide a responsible funding ramp up for the 2020 census in the final 2017 spending bill that Congress must pass in the next month. And second, for Congress to set aside the administration's budget proposal for 2018. It is disappointing, unrealistic, and too low. And Congress should work with the Census Director to establish a steady funding ramp up that keeps 2020 census planning and preparations on track from here on out. You know, the buck stops with Congress because the Constitution says so. And lawmakers must take the lead in making sure the Census Bureau has the resources it needs when it needs them to do the job right. So thank you, Wade. I will stop there and turn it back to you.
Thank you, Darianne. Next on the line is Arturo Vargas, Executive Director, National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO Educational Fund. Arturo?
Thank you, Wade. NALEO Educational Fund is the nation's leading nonprofit organization that promotes Latino civic participation, and the census is the cornerstone of our work and of American democracy. Our priority is to help ensure that the historic undercount of millions of Latinos in the decennial census is not repeated in 2020. Latinos are the nation's second largest population group. One of every six Americans is Latino, as is one of every four of the nation's children and youth. Therefore, a successful 2020 census is not possible if Latinos are not accurately counted. The persistent undercount of the nation's second largest population group has become a civil rights issue for our community. And the undercount is not evenly distributed. We know, for example, that 1 million very young children were missed in the 2010 census, and 400,000 of them were Latino children. Now, the Census Bureau is placing the final touches on its plans for a decennial enumeration that will be dramatically different from any other in our nation's history. The planned changes can help modernize the census for our tech-savvy society or introduce even more barriers to a full count. The changes are being driven by the congressional mandate for the Census Bureau to conduct the 2020 enumeration at the same level of funding it used in Census 2010 in 2010 dollars. This means the census needs to save $5 billion from what a census done using the 2010 method would cost in 2020. Congress's refusal to adequately fund the Census Bureau's preparation and ramp up for 2020, however, is placing the accuracy and success of the 2020 census at serious risk. And already, there have been serious setbacks on the road to 2020. For example, the Census Bureau has canceled on-site tests in Puerto Rico and on two American Indian reservations in North and South Dakota and Washington State. These were the only opportunities to evaluate these new methods for enumerating historically difficult to count areas. Instead, the Bureau right now is proceeding with its plans for an 80,000 household mail-out, mail-back test census only. Next year, the Bureau will hold the end-to-end test in three locations: Pierce County, Washington, Providence County, Rhode Island, and Bluefield, Beckley, Oak Hill area in West Virginia. And already, the Bureau has announced pauses and fallback strategies for its preparations because of inadequate appropriations, including changing plans for compiling the needed address files for this dress rehearsal, delaying the advertising campaign and its community outreach efforts called the Partnership Program, and delaying the opening of Census regional offices. The nation does not have a second chance to get the census right. Fiscal years 2017 and 2018 are critical for the Bureau to test and refine its new strategies, or 2020 may be in serious trouble, end up costing even more than 2010 because of inadequate preparations, or both. Congress must provide the Bureau with the ramp-up funding it needs now and through fiscal year 2020. Finally, the 2020 census will have new challenges for achieving a full and accurate count of Latinos. Latino and other immigrant families are keenly aware about heightened immigration enforcement actions in their communities, and this may increase distrust in contact with public agencies, including the Census Bureau. The digital divide, lack of access to broadband and the Internet, may make census participation more challenging to Latinos, low-income and vulnerable communities, those historically left out of the census to begin with. The Bureau is redesigning how it collects data on race, ethnicity, and Hispanic origin. Now, while research shows the new methods may collect better data, the Bureau needs to be sure that the public understands how to complete the new question. And I'll end with this again. The nation does not have a second chance to get the census right. Thank you, Wade.
Thank you, Arturo. Finally, I'm pleased to introduce John C. Yang, President and Executive Director, Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. John?
Thank you, Wade. Good afternoon. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you today about the importance of the 2020 Census and a core component of it, the American Community Survey, or ACS. Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, is a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization with the mission to advance civil and human rights for Asian Americans and to build a fair and equitable society for all. Because of language barriers and other factors, Asians are often undercounted, which costs our community resources. As a member of the Census Bureau's National Advisory Committee on Racial, Ethnic, and Other Populations, and having led education and outreach efforts in the Asian American community for Census 2000 and Census 2010, we recognize that the census and ACS are critical to our ability and our country's ability to identify and address the needs of our communities. To that end, maintaining a required ACS is critical to continuing access to important disaggregated socioeconomic data points. Disaggregated data is important because it provides us the only detailed information about our communities, such as trends and issues facing the community, so we can employ our resources where they will do the most good and serve the most need. The ACS is the only source of data on subgroups within larger populations. Without the ACS, we would not have data, detailed data, on, for example, the Vietnamese or Chinese populations. That would affect the resources that these groups would get. As the nation's only source of comparable geographic, demographic, and socioeconomic data for all communities, the ACS is a part of the census and updates the census throughout the decade. As such, it is required by law and must remain so to provide the vital information needed from our communities. Already this year, we have seen a legislative effort to make the ACS voluntary, and this issue will likely come up again during the appropriations process for Census Bureau funding. We cannot let amendments or limited logic about the census and the ACS jeopardize the accuracy of data for all segments of the population and all types of communities, including people of color, low-income families, people with disabilities, and limited English proficient individuals. The reality is that rural counties, towns, sparsely populated areas, and smaller population groups, such as our community members, will be hurt most if Congress makes response optional. Reliable ACS data is a public resource as well. The data helps community leaders make informed decisions about schools, local transportation, healthcare services for the elderly, and job training for veterans, among many other services. The ACS data also allows all Americans to hold their elected officials and civic leaders accountable for spending tax dollars and making policy decisions wisely. We cannot let Congress make the American Community Survey voluntary, and Congress must provide sufficient resources for a steady ramp-up in census preparations for the 2020 census. A fully funded 2020 census and a required American Community Survey must serve to ensure an accurate count of all Americans. Thank you.
Thank you, John, and thanks to all of our speakers. Jessica, I think we're now ready to take some questions from reporters. All speakers on today's call are still on the line and available to answer your questions. We are all available for a Q&A. Please identify yourself and your news outlet when asking a question. Jessica, let's take our first question.
Certainly. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we will take our first question from Walter Fields with NorthStarNews.com. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. This is Walter Fields from NorthStarNews.com. Does anyone have concerns that given the tendencies of this administration that the Census Bureau will be so politicized that there will be concern about the accuracy of the count or the unintentional miscount?
Walter, thanks for the question. Carrie-Anne, why don't you start the answer, and Arturo, you may wish to join in, either you or John.
Thank you, Wade, and I'm just going to comment briefly. Yes, of course there are concerns, and we will, you know, hold the administration, as we would any administration, to the highest standard of, you know, transparency and also integrity in not doing anything that would politicize the census or influence the count in any way for partisan advantage. This is an issue that the leadership conference has monitored and addressed for many decades, but there's no question there is heightened concern about that possibility.
Arturo or John?
This is Arturo Vargas, the Leo Educational Fund. You know, there has been plenty of mischief played by previous administrations in terms of policy around the census, but there are two things to remember. The census is required by the United States Constitution to be held every 10 years. Congress has much of a responsibility to ensure that the census is conducted fairly and accurately as anything else that the Congress is charged to do. So we will be very vigilant in ensuring that the oversight committees are not just following the census's preparations, but ensuring that Congress does its work in making sure that the resources are there for the Census Bureau, and that the Department of Commerce oversees the Census Bureau in a way that supports its work and that it is able to complete the 2020 census in a fair and accurate manner so that all Americans are counted as required by the U.S. Constitution.
Walter, thanks for the question. Operator, why don't we take our next question?
Yes, and as a reminder, that was star and one to ask a question. And we will go next to Atkins Durana with Arlington, with Asians Americans. Please go ahead.
So very much for recognizing my question. My name is Rita Girona Atkins. I write for Asian Pacific American publications here in the U.S. as well as contribute to Philippine publications in the Philippines. I would like to address my question, my short question, to John, Mr. Yang, of the AAJC. Considering the seriousness of the funding and perhaps the political turmoil that it would generate, so far as the threat or the challenge in the Asian Pacific American community to have a more accurate and representative count of their communities, I would like to ask John as to whether the community as a whole, other than the individual parts coming from all over Asia, here in America, and specifically the young millennials who are very much Americanized now and very much sensitized about the challenges that confront them as Americans, including the accurate count of the census. What are the programs, Mr. Yang or John, that the community is sort of kind of at this point starting to be aware or starting already some action in organizing the resources of the different communities, diverse communities in the Asian Pacific American community to address precisely the questions that the federal government is frustrated about, such as, for instance, the lack of knowledge about the spellings of the lack of education and stuff like that. Old problems with new challenges, or rather new challenges to old problems. So, Mr. Yang, could you address that other than the federal budget?
Thank you for that question. I would be happy to. I would actually start with the federal budget, however, because I do think that the federal budget is a very, very important component to that. As a practical matter, without a strongly funded Census Bureau, a strongly funded census effort on the federal government side, it is hard for all the community groups to rally together and develop the outreach that is critical to ensuring an accurate count. So, certainly, we as a community, as well as individual components, need to ensure to whatever extent possible that the federal budget, that the Census Bureau is well-funded for this outreach. That said, I agree that certainly the community has a role to play. Certainly, AAJC has played a role. Certainly, NALEO has played a role in getting the outreach to our respective communities. With respect to that, it is, you are absolutely right that new media should play a portion of that now with respect to the younger generation, you know, whether it is through social media, whether through other devices. One of the things that we found to be very successful in the 2010 census is to get media personalities involved. If you get someone like George Takei or John Cho to do a public service announcement, that is helpful to have that relate to the younger generation. It is helpful to have them be able to talk to the older generation. So absolutely, it is a community effort as well that all of us are starting to ramp up for and trying to make sure we have the resources for.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. Thanks for the answer, John. Operator, we'll take our next question.
Sure. And as a reminder, that was star and one to ask a question. And we will go next to Natalie Schumann with Lavas. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, Natalie Schumann from Lavos. We're a Spanish language publication in the Hudson Valley in upstate New York. We appreciate hearing all the things that your organizations are doing to address this important issue. I'm curious what advice or what ideas you can give to citizens who are interested in ensuring that these changes happen, other than maybe calls to representatives and things like that.
Sure. This is Arturo Vargas. I'll take that question. You know, one of the reasons we're doing this press conference today is that it's March 30th, 2 days from April 1st, 2017, exactly three years from Census Day 2020. So we're in the home stretch now, getting ready for this enumeration. So while the Census Bureau is doing everything it needs to do, hopefully, to prepare for the 2020 census count, we as organizations, as community leaders, need to start putting in place now our outreach strategies to get our communities ready to participate in 2020. It's going to be a very different type of census in 2020 than we've had in the past. Not everybody is going to get that paper form in the mail like they did in 2010. Instead, most people are going to get an envelope with a letter that says, it's time to participate in the census. Here's your code. Go online and fill out your form. And we're going to need to make sure that our community understands how it is supposed to be counted this time around. The Bureau says that some people will still get their forms paper style, like in previous censuses, but in order to save the money it needs to save, it really wants people to respond online. So now is the time for us to start preparing our community for this online census.
All right, Wade, this is Terri Ann. If I could add one thing to that very thorough answer.
Please do. Please do.
Arturo is exactly right. We are in the home stretch for the 2020 census, but even more imminent, we are only in 1 year, the dress rehearsal for the census will be in full swing. And if the Census Bureau does not have the resources it needs for the rest of this year, getting ready for what's called the 2018 end-to-end test literally starts in a couple of months. So if the Census Bureau doesn't have the money it needs for 2017 and 2018, it might have a bare-bones dry run. And new methods and operations, the ones that Arturo described earlier, that aren't thoroughly vetted in a census-like environment can be very risky if they're used for the first time in 2020, because as we have all said, there are no do-overs. And that, again, is the other reason for the urgency of our concerns and our calls to Congress to step up to the plate.
Thanks, guys. Natalie, a great question. Thank you. Operator, let's take our next question.
Yes, we will go next to Isabel Yu with Sainto Daily. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's Isabel Yu, Sainto Daily. I write for San Francisco's office via a Chinese language newspaper. I have a follow-up question for John. Could you share some numbers of how undercounted the Asian community is and what contributed to the undercount, and maybe an example of what was impacted because of that? Thank you.
Thank you for that question, Isabel. In terms of what the actual numbers look like, I would have to go back and take a look. Obviously, part of the problem is that it is hard to predict. I think Arturo has done a really good job with his organization in trying to get the best estimate possible in terms of how much the Latino American community may have been undercounted. I'll have to go back and follow up with you on that. As to why, I think the answers are fairly straightforward. Number one is language issues with respect to having a census that people can understand, that is, you know, both translated and people understand that the translations are available. Number two is distrust of government. And this is something that obviously all of us are even more concerned about in this round than we were in 2010. Even under normal circumstances, there is going to be skepticism, especially in the minority community, with respect to government asking questions, seeking data about people's personal lives. In the current environment that we see, we are very, very concerned that that will happen. The third reason that they're undercounted is just historically there is less data and less understanding of where immigrants, remember that about 90%, over 90% of Asian Americans in the United States are immigrants or children of immigrants, where immigrants actually live and the circumstances under which they live. And so that causes an undercount as well. So in terms of the factors, those are clearly the reasons that we have historically had issues with respect to the accuracy of the count.
Thanks, John. And Isabel, thanks for the question. Operator, let's take our next question.
Yes, we'll go next to Mohammed Ozir with Almadon. Please go ahead.
Yes, my name is Mohammed Ozir. I work for Almadon, which is the name in English is Cities. It's published in Beirut. My question is, given the historical distrust of government among immigrants, and which is it was an issue in the previous census, 2010 and 2000, those are I am familiar with. Given the political atmosphere that we have now under Trump administration, what can the community organization do to encourage people, immigrants, especially Arab Americans, Muslim Americans, Hispanic Americans, what can we do as organization to encourage people to participate in the census?
Mohammed, that's a great question. This is Wade Henderson. I'll start off and then invite my colleagues to join in. Distrust of government is generally a factor in the decennial census because every time it's conducted, there are concerns, certainly among immigrant communities, among some communities, whether urban or rural, of individuals with low income status, and individuals in communities that generally are concerned about government presence. Sometimes it's because of police encounters, for example, among African Americans. So there's, generally speaking, a distrust of government that affects every decennial census. Certainly the 2020 census may be more affected than most, largely because of a combination of factors which are problematic. Certainly the rhetoric that we have heard coming from President Trump, but also exacerbated by others, about the crackdown on immigrants is likely to have some heightening resistance in their communities to being counted. We certainly have a problem with a spike in hate crime-related activity directed at various communities, African-Americans, Muslims, Arab-Americans, Sikhs, Latinos, LGBTQ community. That could perhaps also affect the willingness of individuals to be counted. Certainly community groups have, we hope, some ability to mitigate against the unwillingness of people to be counted. So the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, which is a very broad coalition, includes organizations like the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. Groups like Muslim Advocates are part. We also have groups representing Sikhs, like the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. We have lots of organizations representing the Latino community, including the National Council of La Raza, which is the largest Latino civil rights organization. So these organizations working together can have a common message which says it's important for our communities to be counted, underscoring the value of census data in providing resources to communities that might otherwise be marginalized because of a lack of an accurate count, as well as ensuring the fair representation, reapportionment, and redistricting being dependent upon census data. We hope that the countervailing message that these groups bring will strengthen the outreach and the turnout and participation of communities in the census count. We will also have, at the time of the count taking place, a real outreach campaign that will help to underscore the importance of doing this. Now, when you add all those things together, Mohammed, we hope that the turnout and the level of participation will certainly not fall off. We hope it will be enhanced. And we think that through a skilled level of targeting of our message, we're going to be able to reach hard to get communities, and we hope encourage their participation. And we think that will certainly contribute to a more fair and more accurate count than otherwise. Colleagues, anyone else want to respond?
This is Arturo Vargas. What I would add to it is, you know, this is going to be my fourth census that I work on in terms of promoting a full enumeration of the Latino community, and we've seen our community grow over the time. And the one message that continues to resonate decade in and decade out is that the census is the one opportunity each of us counts equally as members of American society. Whether we're male or female, gay or straight, white, black, Asian, Native American, Middle Eastern, 1 year old, 100 years old, a billionaire, or homeless, each of us counts equally. And the best way to ensure that our communities are counted is if our communities really want to be counted, and to ensure that our communities are fully integrated into this country and are able to have fair representation and be really integrated into what it means to be American. And this is the one opportunity to do that in the census.
Thanks, Arturo. Mohammed, thanks for the question. Operator, let's take our next question, please.
Yes, and as a reminder, that was star and one to ask a question. And we will go next to Elizabeth Mendez with Telemundo. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. This is Elizabeth. Thank you for taking my question. And I also wonder if I can speak to someone from Naleo afterwards with more specific questions. But the two ones that I wanted to ask to everybody is if you guys have an idea on how short funding is now for the Census Bureau for this budget year, and if anyone could clarify specifically, does the census ask for people to state their legal status? I've been going through the proposal, and it's my understanding that it does ask for birthplace, but I'm wondering if it asks people to reveal that.
What great questions. Elizabeth, you want to take that, Arturo, and then Terry Ann?
Yeah, I'll take the second question first. The decennial census, the form that gets mailed out or people are asked to fill out every 10 years, does not ask for a person's either citizenship status or place of birth. Where the Census Bureau does ask that information is in the American Community Survey that John referred to, that is a rolling survey that's held throughout the decade. And in that survey, the Census Bureau does ask for place of birth and whether or not you are a U.S. citizen. It does not ask about a person's immigration status. That has been the Bureau's policy all along, and we are working hard to ensure that that policy continues in place, and that the decennial census continues to ask the six basic questions, demographic questions, that ask for a person's name, age, ethnicity and race, relationship to the person filling out the form, and their gender. And those are the only questions asked on the decennial census.
Terry Ann, would you like to add to that about the money?
Certainly. Thanks, Wade. I'll address the first question as quickly as possible. I think we've all emphasized the need for a steady funding ramp-up to gear up for the decennial census in the latter years of a decade, and we are in the middle of that now. But right now, the Census Bureau is operating, as much of the federal government is, on last year's funding levels, because as you all know, Congress has not approved final spending bills for 2017. And so, as Arturo described earlier, the Census Bureau is already in the hole for this year and has had to cancel or delay major planning, final testing and preparation activities for the 2020 census because it doesn't have a ramp up yet for 2017. So right now, the Census Bureau for this year had requested an increase overall of about $260 million, and it's gotten nothing so far. So we already know the consequences of that. For next year, the administration did not request an increase over what the Census Bureau said it needed for 2017, even though in the administration's budget explanation, it used the term increase. That was spin. In fact, the administration requested less for 2018 than the Census Bureau had asked for 2017. And the final point of comparison is that 10 years ago, the Bush administration for the year 2008 asked for a 25% increase over 2007 to keep that ramp up on a steady incline. And that is why we are so concerned about the Trump administration's budget request for 2018 and final funding for 2017. It's going in the wrong direction, and the consequences could be very severe.
Thanks, Terry Ann. Elizabeth, great question. Thank you. Operator, we'll take our next question.
Okay, and we'll go next to Joanne Fields with Filipino Press. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Joanne Fields from the Filipino Press, and my question would be, will there be one-pagers or statements from this group that can be publicized or offered to our community groups that have a major interest in advocating with our congressional rep, local congressional reps? This will be my third decennial census, and I know that we had complete count committees every decennial, and we're still connected, but there are many groups that have also come about since the last census. We have a very fast-growing Somali community, Middle Eastern community in East County, so we'd like to plug them in early. So is there any information that we can lean on from this group so that we can start to publicize and start to do some sort of outreach so that when an opportunity arises, whether it's a town hall that one of our congressional reps may have, we can pose the question but have a uniform or at least a united front in our messaging.
Joanne, that's a great question. Let me ask Terry Ann to start off, and then Arturo and John.
Thank you, Wade. Well, yes to all of the above. The Leadership Conference Education Fund will, and has in the past, unroll a very extensive public education campaign, and it has started that already, both to keep stakeholders broadly informed about the key policy issues and challenges that we discussed on this briefing today, and then as we move into what we'll call the Get Out the Count phase to support the efforts of trusted voices in all of the hard-to-count communities along the lines that you just described. So we can be in touch with you after this call. There are some written materials already, and there will be many more to come as time goes on, and we'll just give a small plug for one of our partner organizations, the Census Project, with which we work very closely. They keep stakeholders informed generally on key census policy issues, and if you go to their website, you will find a couple of very good basic fact sheets on these current funding issues and the importance of an American community survey, that is robust and comprehensive. And again, the Leadership Conference is part of the Census Project's coalition work.
Fantastic.
Arturo?
Thank you.
I think that was pretty comprehensive.
Okay. Guys, thank you. Operator, next question.
Thank you. And as a reminder, that was star one to ask a question. And we'll take our next question.
Before we do, operator, can I mention, John, did I cut you off by accident?
No problem. I just want to mention, certainly from the Asian community perspective, as I believe the questioner was from the Asian community, that is something that we are definitely starting already and ramping up. You're absolutely right. A lot of us will work with our community partners on the ground in making sure that they get the materials that they need in the language that they need, sort of in a culturally sensitive way. So it's a great question. Certainly, it's on all of our minds.
Thanks, John. And operator, I think we're ready for the next question.
Certainly. We'll go next to Silvana Diaz with the National Association of Hispanic Publication. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Silvana Diaz from the NHP. My question is, I know it was mentioned that there were some setbacks with advertising campaigns. If anyone can please perhaps go a little bit more in depth in what that really means, if possible, if you can offer any more additional information of what that looks like currently.
Sure.
Any of our speakers? Go ahead, Arturo.
Yeah. Arturo Vargas with Naleo Educational Fund. Last year, the Census Bureau awarded the communications contract to Young and Rubicon to provide the overall communications strategy for the 2020 census. And under that contractor are a number of subcontractors with specific expertise in working with different ethnic communities, including African American, Latino, Asian, Hawaiian, Pacific Islander communities. The contractor is getting ready now to understand what the messages and messaging should be for 2020. And the test dress rehearsal that's going to happen next year is a perfect opportunity for the contractor to start testing those messages so that we know what works in driving people to go online to fill out their census forms and to assure them that the census is safe and confidential. However, because of the lack of funding for fiscal year 2017 and 2018, the Census Bureau has had to eliminate the communications component of the dress rehearsal. That for us is a major setback because we will not in a real census environment have the opportunity to see what is working in terms of messages and messaging and different media for using messages, including social media, to see what is going to work in 2020. This is one of the reasons why we're calling on Congress to make sure it fully funds the census for next year so that the contractor for the communications campaign can actually implement a communications component for the dress rehearsal.
Thanks, Arturo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, too, Silvana. Operator, we're ready for our next question.
And we will go next to Viji Sundaram with Freelancer. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I freelance for South Asian media in the U.S., and a previous a reporter had asked the panel whether the new census form is going to have any questions regarding a person's immigration status. And if I understood right, panelists said no. But here's the thing: I read in India West recently, that's in a publication in California, it's a national publication, that there was a draft executive order being considered by the White House that would require, for the very first time, census workers to ask respondents about their immigration status. And this apparently has generated comment from the Brennan Center for Justice saying that this is going to discourage a lot of people from participating. And I wondered if anyone could speak to that issue.
Great question. Carrie Ann?
Thank you, Wade. And yes, an important question that I know has crossed many people's radar screen. The draft executive order to which you're referring, which I believe was issued in February, or I should say was floated in February, not yet issued, had to do with, this is not my words, protecting American workers from immigrant labor. That was the title of it. And there was a provision in that draft order that referenced what was used to be the census long form, and a directive to the Census Bureau to collect data on citizenship and immigration status on that long form. Now, there is no census long form anymore, number one. There is now the American Community Survey, which replaced it in 2005, the long form in 2005. And furthermore, the ACS already has questions on citizenship and also on, let's say, immigration status, that is, place of birth and year of entry. And so we believe whoever drafted that provision was woefully uninformed, but we are very worried about their intent and are monitoring that situation very carefully. And let me just say in closing, and then Arturo or John may want to comment as well, we are more worried about the possibility of potential proposals in Congress and potential proposals out of the White House to add those questions to the census itself, to the 2020 census that, as Arturo said, only is administered once a decade in the year ending in zero. And so we are being very vigilant about monitoring any, activity that may indicate, that possible action.
John or Arturo?
This is Arturo. Just to add, as I mentioned, this is my fourth census, and in every single census that I've worked on, there have been legislative efforts to try to exclude immigrants or undocumented immigrants from the census count for one reason or another. It's nothing new, but one of the things that we have always relied on is the actual words of the Constitution of the United States that says there shall be an enumeration of all persons. It doesn't say all men, doesn't say all landowners, it doesn't say all whites or blacks or Latinos, it says all persons. And that is the language that the Census Bureau is obligated to carry out to ensure that everybody is counted, which is why we have come together as civil rights organizations to promote a full census count, because a full census enumeration is the cornerstone of our democracy, and only by counting all persons can we have a democracy that works for everybody.
John, any last comment there?
The only other comment I would offer is for the administration to suggest any such question at this late date, because as Arturo has outlined, testing is already taking place, and now some of it has been curtailed because of funding, but it's already taking place, and to try to change something as fundamental as this without testing, if we are trying to get an accurate enumeration of all persons, as Arturo has outlined, then this could do serious damage to the accuracy of those results.
Thank you for that question. Operator, I think we'll take our last two calls.
Certainly, and we will go next to Patricia Guadalupe with NBC Latino. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Patricia Guadalupe. Thank you for taking my call. My question was, when you're asking for full funding for the decennial count, what are we talking about exactly as far as numbers are concerned? Are you talking about the 2010 funding, which was pretty high, and they're trying to avoid spending that much money? I mean, what are we talking about numbers-wise as far as what you're looking at?
Kellyanne?
Thank you, Wade. So you are correct that Congress, for the first time in modern history at least, has in advance set a cap, if you will, a limit, on how much the Census Bureau can spend on the 2020 census. And by the way, that covers a 10-year period of research, testing, planning, preparation, and then implementing the census. And it said Congress has directed the Census Bureau to spend no more than it spent on the 2010 census, which was about $13 billion.
Right.
And even to spend less. So the Census Bureau is already operating on what we think is a bare-bones budget to take a fair and accurate count. And when Congress has further cut back from the funding requests year after year, and now with the Trump administration's support, if you will, maybe forcing the Census Bureau to do more with far less at a time when they need significantly ramped up resources, the ability to pull off a comprehensive census, especially their account communities, is really compromised. In terms of numbers, very quickly, the Obama administration requested for 2017 $1.6 billion. Right now, the Census Bureau is operating with only $1.3 billion. That's the 2016 level. But even the appropriations committees cut the request, and the highest level would probably be $1.5 billion. And so the fact that the Trump administration has now requested the same $1.5 billion for 2018, instead of what conceivably should be, let's for argument's sake, a 25% jump, which would be far northward of $1.8 billion, because there are other programs in there that need funding increases as well to support the census. Again, the Census Bureau will fall further and further into a hole and cannot make up the time and the testing that it doesn't do from here on out.
Well, my question is, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but when you're requesting full funding, what do you mean by full funding? Are you talking about the 2010 level? Are you talking about ramping up the increases throughout the year to make up for the decreases? What do you mean exactly by full funding? What is your criteria?
Well, full funding is, for us, what the Census Bureau says it needs to get the job done each year. And we know that the funding for a decennial census must ramp up. It's more than just a steady increase. It's an exponentially higher increase year over year in the years ending in 6 through 0. So, for example, for 2017, the administration, what was then the Obama administration, requested $1.6 billion. We support that request. We are urging Congress to allocate that level of funding.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Right. And for 2018, the fact that the Trump administration only requested $1.5 billion is clearly sliding backward and in the wrong direction. And so we urge Congress to go directly to the Census Bureau, find out how much the Bureau needs for 2018 to keep all of the testing, the dress rehearsal, the development of communications campaign in language materials and the like on schedule and, comprehensive.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Certainly.
Thank you. Operator, we'll take our last question.
And we will take our last question from Juan Esparza with Vida en el Valle. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, this is for Arturo. You mentioned that the undercount in 2010, 1 million young people, including 400,000 Latino children. It's a two-part question. Have steps been taken to try and address how to avoid that undercount? And then a follow-up is how much of an undercount would you expect in 2020 if the Census Bureau does not get the funding that it needs?
Thank you for that question. This is Arturo Vargas with Nalo Educational Fund. Last year, we released a report that specifically looked at the undercount of very young Latino children. These are children ages 0 to 4. And according to research done by Dr. William O'Hare, who's one of the foremost demographers on data on young children, 1 million children were missed in 2010, 400,000 of them Latinos. We issued the report in order to sound the alarm with the Census Bureau that as it prepares for this revamped, re-engineered, tech-savvy census, that it does it in a way that, one, doesn't make the undercount worse for young Latino children, and number two, actually improves the count of young Latino children. So we have been pressuring the Census Bureau to engage in research as to why is it that young Latino children and young children overall were missed in the census. Obviously, they cannot fill out their own census forms. The Bureau itself is trying to learn why that happens. And so we're looking forward to the results of that research so that new strategies can be implemented in 2020. We have started to convene meetings of community leaders around the country to raise this issue. For example, we had a meeting in Los Angeles County, and many individuals who are working with foster children noted that in foster homes, it may be that the guardians, temporary guardians of young children, did not know they were supposed to include the children living with them on census day on their census forms because they thought they would be counted by their biological parents at some other address, and therefore the children were not counted at all. We know that these children, ages 0 to 4, are being born now because we're 3 years away from the census, which is why now we need to start preparing for 2020. And if the Census Bureau does not get the funding it needs to make sure that the new strategies it's implementing, that it works out the kinks and makes sure that everything goes smoothly next year in the test dress rehearsal, and that we're ready for 2020, unless the Bureau is prepared, then we do risk having a less accurate census in 2020 than we did in 2010.
Thank you.
Juan, great question. Arturo, thank you. And thanks to all of the reporters who have asked questions this afternoon. Operator, this brings us to the conclusion, both of our question and answer period and also of the press conference. Let me just say I'd like to announce that we will send a recording of this call to everyone so that in the event you can share it or you have additional questions, you can also follow up. We'll be happy to have you follow up with speakers and connect you to those for whom you have questions directly. And so I want to thank all the reporters who joined, and I most especially want to thank our experts this afternoon. Terry Ann Lowenthal, a former staff director of the House Census and Population Subcommittee, who is working as a consultant to the Leadership Conference Education Fund. Arturo Vargas, who is the executive director of the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials, NALEO, the Educational Fund, and John C. Yang, president and executive director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice. I'm Wade Henderson, president of the Leadership Conference Education Fund, and I want to thank all of you for joining us this afternoon. Operator, that brings us to the end of our call.